Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Prepare for a righteous reckoning in the new season of the HBO original series, The Righteous Gemstones. When the spoiled gemstone children finally get their wish to take control of the church, they discover leadership is harder than they imagined and that their extravagant lifestyle comes with a heavy price. Starring Danny McBride, John Goodman, Edie Patterson, and Adam Devine, watch the all-new season of The Righteous Gemstones, streaming June 18th on Max. Subscription required. Visit max.com for details.
From so many of you about this announced merger of sorts between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour, the DP World Tour as well, a lesser entity. According to Jay Monahan, the PGA will still maintain a majority stake in terms of its board, and so that means authority still will rest with the PGA and its membership. However, its membership was left in the dark. This was Monahan and a couple others, but the majority of people had no idea about this agreement. Now, is it better for the game of golf? You'll have the best players in the world on the same tour again, or at the same events again. I'm not sure what's going to happen if they're going to disband the LIV and get rid of it altogether and absorb the events and the team concept, which is something that was addressed in the memo as well as in the meeting. If they're going to just get rid of LIV and put all of those events onto the PGA schedule and absorb that team concept somehow. It doesn't make any sense to have two separate tours or three separate tours. Wouldn't that be the whole point of merging, is getting everybody back on the same schedule, so to speak, or at least giving everyone the option of playing all the events? So some of you are finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Eric says this was a hostile takeover by the Saudis, PIF. The PIF is the fund. It's a public investment fund. It's the kingdom money, the crown prince, the backing with the money. So Eric thinks it's a hostile takeover. Others of you, like Ron says, Yasser Al-Ramayan, who's the governor of the money, he's in charge of the money. He's essentially the accountant. Ron believes Yasser said to the PGA, "Well, fellas, what's your price?" Except it wasn't fellas. Yeah, it was one fella. If you're looking to ask me anything as part of our hump show, you can do that by sending your questions to either our Facebook page or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I usually go back and answer what I can during the day on Wednesday, and I definitely will take the time to do that. I was planning on getting back to running on Wednesday, but considering what the neighborhood is like, I actually don't think I want to go running. A friend even asked me if I want to take a walk instead, but I do not want to be outside in what is a hazy smoke that actually is giving us this acrid smell in my neighborhood. And it's not just in New Jersey. New York and New Jersey, as well as 15 other states, are under air quality alerts from the 160 wildfires that are burning in both Nova Scotia and Quebec. And because of the jet stream, that smoke is drifting down into the northern United States in many places. It's from the kind of from the Great Lakes and down. So it's not just in the Northeast, in New England. It's across the upper Midwest as well. 17 total states under air quality alerts. And my first clue, now I'd been hearing the weather reports warn us essentially that the air quality would be affected, and we'd been under a bit of a haze lately. We haven't had much rain, at least not in my neighborhood, and so it's already been a couple weeks without any rain, which means the smoke is not getting chased away. It's not getting broken up by the moisture. And so the weather forecasts had been warning about air quality and the fact that it would be cloudy and hazy. And it was all weekend, but it was different on Tuesday. First of all, the sun was pink. As I was driving home from New York City, which is where our CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located, about 6 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday morning, the sun was neon pink because the atmosphere was so hazy, you could actually stare at the sun. It looked like a giant pink dot in the sky. Well, dot, that dot and giant seemed like oxymoron. It looked like a giant pink ball in the sky, but you could actually stare at it without any damage to your eyes because there was so much smoke between you and the sun that it didn't even look like the sun, but also the light was so muted and it was neon pink. There are actually photos out there. I tried to take one, but it didn't come out very well. So that was Tuesday morning. I go out from the house on Tuesday afternoon to walk the dog. I get Penny to a very short walk because she's got chronic bronchitis. She's on steroids for bronchitis, and I don't want the smoke to get into her lungs and irritate her lungs. But we walk out, and it smells like the neighborhood's on fire. It's that kind of a sharp smell. I even saw some ash flying around my neighborhood, and it's thick smoke. In New Jersey, visibility dropped down below 2 miles, which is dangerous if you're flying a plane or up in that smoke. And so now the air quality alert, at least for New Jersey, extends through Wednesday at midnight. Because, again, there's no rain in the forecast, and there's some more smoke that's descending from the Great Lakes, from Quebec, and from Nova Scotia on the jet stream. And so I know I'm not alone. Again, 17 states have air quality alerts. Anybody who is asthmatic, anybody who has any type of respiratory issues, gosh, isn't that how COVID attacked most people, is through their lungs and their respiratory systems? Can imagine there's still people struggling. And so you're all recommended to stay inside, keep exercise to a minimum, at least outdoors. So I'm going to ride my bike inside. I went to do some errands on Tuesday afternoon and my eyes were stinging. So I have essentially the airflow going in Princess Leia in my car and just kind of bringing in the outside air. But my eyes were stinging. And then I started to get a headache from the smoke. It's actually what happens to me when I'm around cigarette smoke. I start to get a headache and I can even lose my voice if I'm around it too long. So I don't feel comfortable going out and running because right now the air quality alert in at least the New York area is as bad as it's ever been. And I don't know if this is scientific or not, but I saw some reports out there on Twitter. I know, that indicate if you spend an hour outside, it's almost like you've been smoking cigarettes, kind of breathing in that air. So a little bit dangerous. Be careful for those of you who are in danger or in a high-risk group. I'm just going to stay inside. It's only 70 degrees in my neighborhood or for the highs this week, but I actually shut all the windows. I love fresh air, but it's not fresh air right now. I didn't want the inside of my house to smell like smoke. So be careful for those of you who are in Nova Scotia and Quebec, thinking of you. These are wildfires, again, that are kind of stretched over eastern Canada. And now the smoke descending into large portions of the United States. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So again, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too, gauging your reaction to this shocking merger of sorts. A new umbrella, if you will. It's good to grow the game of golf. And Jay Monahan is trying to sell his long-term vision for golf to his own membership, to himself, and to us on CNBC.
It's less about how people respond today, and it's all about how people respond in 10 years. And when they see the impact that we're having on this game together, there will be a lot of smiles on people's faces, and there'll be a lot more people playing this game all over the world. And if you're a young player that wants to get to the highest level of the game today, you'll be more inspired than you've ever been before.
Okay, but why? What did LIV Golf do that made it attractive to Jay as the PGA Tour commissioner? What did he feel like the PGA Tour was lacking?
Number one, it's a passion for the game of golf that you see, you feel, experience every single conversation that you have with this man.
What?
And that passion manifests itself in a belief in innovation, in a belief in continuing to push boundaries. And I think that in and of itself, with us restructuring our business and being in a position to utilize the power of the PGA Tour brand, use the power of our scale alongside a great partner and a great investor, that's what's gotten us here.
Except, how do you speak for the PGA Tour membership? You're the commissioner, yes, but you didn't gauge the temperature in the room. You didn't ask them how they felt about it. I understand that you are hired and you are paid to run the business of the PGA Tour, but you work essentially for them, or at least with them. How can you make this decision without consulting them? And he talks about this one man who has a passion for golf, Yasser Al-Rumayyan, again, with the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund. We're calling it the PIF. It's an infusion of cash. Forget passion. You ripped it a year ago as a business model that wasn't sustainable. I got to imagine this is partly about causing these antitrust lawsuits to go away. PGA doesn't want to deal with these antitrust lawsuits and these claims that they were limiting what golfers could do and how they could participate. Although, remember, that's what Phil Mickelson told us. Well, he didn't mean to. He thought it was off the record. And his comments were blasted for all the world to hear and see. But he didn't love the control that Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour exerted over each golfer's career. Jack Nicklaus to the Palm Beach Post: whatever is best for the game of golf enjoys my full support. But he says the proof will be in the pudding. Mackenzie Hughes is a golfer. Nothing like finding out through Twitter that we're merging with a tour that we said we'd never do that with. Colin Morikawa: I love finding out morning news on Twitter. Taylor Gooch, though: cheers to my LIV and PGA Tour people. Cheers to the future of golf. Cheers to the fans. Today was a win for all of us. And then Phil Mickelson: awesome day today. Oh, can you imagine how validated he feels?
Let it go, dude. Let it go.
Can you imagine how much he must have let out a humongous hoop and holler? And I wonder if he was in on it. Right? Phil's the most notable name, I would say, to jump to the LIV Tour. He's the one that really started the brouhaha. We know that very few players knew what was coming down the line. Do you think Phil was in on it? Think Tiger had any knowledge? Tiger's pretty connected. Do you think he had any knowledge? And can anyone get in touch with Rory McIlroy? Ooh, it's been quite a week for Rory. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I want you to hear from Bryson DeChambeau. So both Yasser Al-Rumayyan and Jay Monahan made appearances on CNBC. They also did press conferences, but were playing the audio from CNBC, which is where he made his first appearance. Bryson DeChambeau was a guest on CNN, and he actually was asked about the players who not only stuck with the PGA Tour, but decided to jump to LIV was just a travesty.
Look, I really feel bad for the information that was delivered to the players on the PGA Tour, the ones that stuck with them. You know, we did take a risk. The players that did go over, we did take a risk, and there was a reason for taking that risk relative to the capital that had to be paid out for that to occur. But I do feel bad for the PGA Tour players because they were told one thing and something else happened. And on our side, we were told one thing and it's come to fruition. And look, in the end, for me, I want the players, the fans, and the game of golf to win. And, you know, it does stink a little bit from my perspective that the PGA Tour players are not necessarily winning. I hope that they can find a way to make sure that they are valued in the same way that we are over at LIV. And I think that'll happen. It's just going to take some time with the players pushing back a little bit and trying to figure out what makes them, what gives them the best opportunity to be successful on their own end. And eventually we all come back together now and play as one group.
Bryson DeChambeau, also, you can hear it, the lilt in his voice. Do you remember when Jay Monahan asked if LIV golfers had any type of remorse or if there was a moral element to it? And he said, have PGA golfers ever had to apologize for being part of this tour? I'm paraphrasing. Do golfers ever have to apologize for being part of the PGA Tour, as though LIV golfers did or should apologize for taking the Saudi Arabian money? Oh, do you think he apologized? Think he apologized for doing this under cover of night without reaching out to the membership first? Oh, that's the part that I think bothers me the most, because the money will obviously help. Obviously. Money can build a lot of courses. It can bridge a lot of gaps. It can certainly extend the reach. It can absolutely create more sponsorships and advertising opportunities. And yes, initiatives to grow the game of golf. But I would be most upset as a golfer if I was kept in the dark. Because that to me is a dead giveaway that he knew nobody would be on board with it, or very few people would be on board with it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Jonathan is listening in Maryland. Jonathan, what do you think?
Well, what I think is the PGA sold out, plain and simple.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, the covering is where we're trying to grow the game of golf. What do you want to grow it to? At the end of the day, LIV came up and they got – first of all, I would like to know, how much is the PGA worth? Who makes the decisions on the contracts for television? Who does all of that? And is it just one guy? Is one guy that goes in there and says, okay, NBC, ABC, we're going to put the tournament here, tournament there. This guy, Yasa, you said – I got to disagree with you, Amy. You said he's an accountant.
What?
He's no accountant.
No, I was being facetious.
But... I know you. I know. I'm just playing.
Okay.
I'm just playing with you. He's no accountant. He's the chairman. No matter what they say, all these other guys. Of course. What am I going to say? I'm going to buy your house, but you go ahead. You take care of it. You keep doing what you're doing until I don't like what you're doing. Then I'm going to come and put my chairmanship, and I'm going to tell you what happened was they didn't have a Tiger Woods. They didn't have anything. I'm from Baltimore.
Okay.
So I always think about Lamar battled Steve Bisciotti. Bisciotti had billions. All Lamar had was talent. So it was talent against money. And guess what? The PGA didn't have any talent, and the Audis had all the money. So at the end of the day, Rory's name was up there because that was the biggest name. Tiger Woods is done. I love Tiger. Tiger's in retirement mode. He's getting surgery. He's not 2000 Tiger. If he was 2000 Tiger, the PGA would have like, get out of my face. We're all right. We can carry it ourselves. At the end of the day, the PGA was afraid because this guy had money. I said it last year. They were competing against an organization who was not trying to profit. Mm-hmm. These guys just wanted the game. They bought it, and they sold the people out. And the old, like James Brown song, he sold me out for chicken and change, and that's it. Plain and simple.
All right, Jonathan, I appreciate your passionate response. Thank you for listening in Baltimore. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. A few more quotes from golfers who found out through social media or after the agreement had already been announced. And some of these are pretty strong reactions. Callum Tarran, who is a PGA Tour member, ranked 159th in the world, told the Golf Channel, "It's disappointing being a PGA Tour member. The guys who've stayed loyal to the PGA Tour, it's kind of a kick in the teeth for them. Obviously, Rory was a huge advocate of the PGA Tour. Now it looks like all of this hard work and sticking up for the PGA was just left by the wayside. They've got to feel betrayed. They've got to feel like they were duped. Another PGA Tour player was quoted by ESPN. Now, he was anonymous. But he said, it's insanity. The LIV Tour was dead in the water. It wasn't working. Now you're throwing them a life jacket? Is the moral of the story to just always take the money? That's a PGA Tour member. This is what happens when you are left in the dark and you don't have a say and it's not unanimous or the majority rules. Monahan did a couple of other interviews in addition to the CNBC. And he says about Liv, they were going down their path. We were going down ours. And after a lot of introspection, you realize all this tension in the game is not a good thing. What tension exactly? It was pretty much in the past. They were allowed to all play the majors. So what's the big deal? And what do you care what the Liv Tour is doing? Except for they've got a bottomless pit of money. Wow. One more quote from Monahan. I understand the criticism. For me, you take the information you have at the time, you make decisions in the best interest. Things have changed. This was the right time to have this conversation. Things have changed. Things. Another PGA Tour player who was anonymous. No bleeping way. Crazy. I mean, does anyone buy that it's about the impact on the game of golf? Does anyone buy that? No way. There's no way to merge with Liv. You're throwing them a lifeline. You're keeping them afloat. Essentially, you're taking the money and saying, fine, we'll take your tournaments too. Fine. We'll allow you to keep breathing. Fine. We'll even adapt your group concept.
Totally fine.
But how much you want to bet the LIV Tour itself will be no more before long? It'll either see its events just kind of absorbed by the PGA Tour, or they'll call it something different. And the fact that Greg Norman's out, I bet that was a condition of Jay Monahan's agreement too. You can see the concessions that Monahan made to get the bottomless pit of money. That's what Yasser Al-Ramayan says. Whatever it takes. Can you do the end real quick of the Jay Monahan bite where he's talking about the long-term vision? The very end. New courses, blah, blah, blah. Did you find it?
There'll be a lot of smiles on people's faces, and there'll be a lot more people playing this game all over the world. And if you're a young player that wants to get to the highest level of the game today, you'll be more inspired than you've ever been before.
There's also a part where he talks about new courses, new resources, new this, new that.
We've got 29 clubs in our TPC portfolio. The real estate and club business, we think there's real opportunity. New events, new courses, new technology, new initiatives that are tied to growth of the game all over the world.
Yeah, that's where the money comes in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Our Twitter is After Hours CBS, about an hour and 15 away from Ask Amy Anything. Yeah, yeah, we're going to have fun on the show as well. Got a little football. Damar Hamlin back at practice with a helmet, you guys. I'm so excited for him. Plus, we've got game three, the all-important, pivotal, crucial, critical game three in a tie series in the NBA Finals. And yeah, actually Stanley Cup Final as well. Moving to Florida. So plenty to happen in the next couple days. It's June 6th, if you're still on your Tuesday. June 7th, if you're morphing into your Wednesday. When you go outside in any of these 17 states with the air quality alerts, I highly recommend holding your breath. I'm telling you, I still feel it in my throat. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour. all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Sports Podcast.
My heart is still in it, you know, my heart is still in the game. I just want to show people that fear is a choice, that, you know, you can keep going in something without having the answers and without knowing what's at the end of the tunnel. Or, you know, you might feel anxious. You might feel any type of way, you know, but you just keep putting that right foot in front of the left one.
This is After Hours with Amy.
With who? I'm sorry, with who? Can we try that again? No.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Did he forget my last name for a second there? He might have. But we can't forget DeMar Hamlin. I don't care if you know who I am. I don't need to be remembered, recognized, reinforced, validated. I don't need to be famous. Oh, how, that's never going to happen in radio. I don't need to be any of those things. But I need you to remember DeMar Hamlin. Amazing story. Going back to January 2nd of last year. Oh, no, this year. Oh, my gosh. Not last year. Last season. Not last year, actually 2023. There goes the perfect show. Just kidding. There's no such thing as a perfect show. In fact, the voice guy just messed it up. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. DeMar Hamlin did what no one else can do. In the NFL, he and his cardiac arrest on the field caused the NFL to come to a grinding halt for 2 days. 2 days. While teams, individual players, coaches, even owners, not only prayed and waited, but donated money to his Chasing M's Foundation, which made millions and millions that he's now going to use for not just CPR training, but equipment that can save the lives of others who go into cardiac arrest on a sports field. I mean, he's an incredible young man. His family, so supportive, just seems to have all his priorities in order. But what he most wants to do for his career is get back on the football field. And so DeMar Hamlin, Buffalo Bills safety, was out there on the field with his teammates practicing in a helmet on Tuesday. And, of course, Brandon Bean among those who's so proud of him.
Really proud of him, you know, to take that next step. That's probably the – obviously you guys have seen him out here working out. He put the helmet on the last practice last week and texted his parents afterwards, like just so proud of him and thrilled for – where he's at in his journey. He's still got, you know, still got more milestones to hit. But to think back, you know, we're just at the beginning of June, and that was the beginning of January, and we were just hoping he'd live. And now he's not only got a normal life, but we're talking about playing not any football, NFL football. So thrilled for him, all the people that have been around him, and it's an amazing story.
It's an amazing story. It's an amazing testimony of Damar Hamlin. He had the cameras pointed on him, of course, because it's a monumental day for Damar, his family, the Bills. And he did his signature heart with his hands and then had his three fingers up on each hand, symbolizing, of course, his Damar Hamlin number three. First time that it was a practice that was open for cameras and for reporters, in which they actually saw him with a helmet, right? So to this point, they'd not seen him out there where he fully participated in practice. But we're talking about June 6th after January 2nd. Think about that. He himself has indicated, I died twice on the field. I died. They brought me back to life. They resuscitated me. They saved my life on January 2nd. But I died on national TV. And now here he is in the sixth month of the year, just over 6 months later, actually playing football again. Wow. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, they want to be careful, but I don't know how careful you can be. I mean, if he's cleared by doctors, you got to let him go.
He's great. Like, he's mentally ready to go. He knows the defense. It's year three into it. It's all that. The next thing's going to be we got to put pads on, and it'll be at training camp. But I thought it was really important for him to, if he could and felt it was ready. You know, this is a two-way communication. This is not us saying you got to do this. And you know, it's he's worked really hard on the mental side of this. Physically, he's all cleared, but this is, you know, a real deal from a mental standpoint after you've been, you know, to where he was. But, you know, the next thing will be when we get to St. John Fisher. I think he's done, you know, we'll, you know, through next week, minicamp, continue to ramp him up, you know, with helmets on. But that'll be probably the next big hurdle for him, tackling.
Amazing. Now, Damar told us back in April that he was cleared to play football, physically cleared. But Brandon Bean focuses on really the mental side of things. The fact that he has to have his head all in the game. He has to be focused. He can't be thinking about what happened in January. Obviously, he can't play with fear. You can't play football with fear. The game moves too fast. It's too violent. You have to be ready for everything it brings. But they're going to ramp him up. And I can certainly understand the fact that he really hasn't been able to do a whole lot going back to January, that they want to be careful with them. But it's kind of cool to hear the awe and the appreciation, not to mention the support from others around him. Like the safeties coach for the Buffalo Bills. I have no idea what it's like for him. I think he's the only one that could answer that. We're taking the approach of trying to support whatever he wants, his goals, take it day by day, and just try to coach him, get better. But it's great to see him out there. And we've heard from him now, of course, because he's launched this CPR tour of his. CPR tour that also provides equipment to other football teams, primarily youth football teams, so that they are able to revive an athlete if it happens on their watch. Gosh. I remember how many times he said to us that everything happens for a reason, and now he's got a new purpose, and he's got a new passion, and he feels like there's new calling on his life. Think about the number of football players, football teams at the youth level. Really the impact that he will be able to have with his platform, number one, but with the money, the millions of dollars that was donated to his Chasing M's Foundation. He will be able to take that money and do so much good with it. And that's seeds that many of you planted. I know we talked about it while he was in the hospital in Cincinnati. Many of you told me that you were donating. We checked the fund every night, and it kept growing at these astronomically incremental rates. Up, 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 up. And so he's the head of the snake is the wrong metaphor. He's the point person. He's the face of the Chasing M's Foundation, of course. He's the reason why it even exists. But many of you all have given him the resources to be able to make an impact, to be able to make a difference. It's awesome. And I can't wait to root for him. Yet another reason to support the Buffalo Bills, right? Actually, kind of interesting to hear what Leonard Floyd had to say, too, on Tuesday, because he left money on the table to take the proverbial hometown discount with the Bills.
Oh, it was simple. I want to win. I want to win the Super Bowl. And I'm examining teams and looking at their rosters, and the Bills the best, you know what I'm saying? And I just felt like if I come here, I can help the team get there and win a game.
We know a little bit about your skill set, you know, what you bring to the table. How do you see yourself fitting in?
Pretty much continue with what I've been doing the last 3 years, just continuing to just getting better every year. That's my main thing. I like to try to get better every year. I plan on stacking on the years I had in Chicago with this first year here.
So now you've got a pair of former Rams who are part of that pass rushing group on the Bills. Of course, Von Miller says he'll be ready for week number one.
Bills Mafia, what's good?
Leonard Floyd's only 30 and he takes a 1 year deal, but he took less money. And I guess maybe a little bit misleading by saying hometown discount. What I meant was he took less money because that's where he wanted to be. It didn't matter to him as much about could he get a few more dollars or a few more million. What he really wanted was to play with Buffalo. And he says because he wants to compete for a championship. But I could imagine Von Miller's thrilled to have him there too. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, Leroy on Twitter says PGA Golf is a 501c3. He would need majority rule by the board to make this move. He cannot make this move alone. Blake says in the end, who really cares? It's just talking points. And honestly, that's what Jay's hoping for. He's hoping that the whole thing just fades away because a year or 2 years down the road, maybe nobody's talking about it anymore. The LIV has essentially all but disappeared. It was a blip on the radar. It's been absorbed by the PGA. But guess what? The money and the impact of the money remains. On our Facebook page, a lot of you are ticked off. I will say that. I just need to hear some more Rory or Phil. Any chance we could hear Phil? He's going to be a lot smugger in the future. Remember, he returned and he was pretty cryptic. He didn't really want to talk about the past. He was kind of salty at times, but he's got to feel validated. Paul says, will the LIV money and partnership change the way you view the PGA? It's a great question. Probably one that can't really be answered right now. Marie says, sad, unbelievable. What is happening to entertainment and sport? PGA is no longer the PGA, it's money. How can I continue to watch? And then one more from D. If that letter from Jay Monahan to the golfers had a translate button, it would read, we know we said to refuse the Saudi offers, but the Saudis made us an offer we cannot refuse. And Jay gets to stay in control. He gets to stay in power. Nice little power perk from the PIF. A power perk from the PIF.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
Best.
One to left center field. Edmund back, track, ball out of here! Into the Cardinals bullpen! Nathaniel Lowe cranks his second home run to the homestand. A solo shot, and we're tied at two.
Big righty, who has his right foot set on the first base side of the rubber. The 1-2 pitch hit high and deep. Out into left center field. Adolis Garcia, touch them all! for Adolis, his 15th home run of the year. He gives Texas a 6-2 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Texas Rangers are still hot to trot on Rangers Radio, getting by the St. Louis Cardinals yet again. That's 5 in a row, 9 of their last 11. Adolis Garcia with a 4-for-4 game and a home run.
We are feeling great right now. We have been playing good. And I think the help of the fans or everything, you know, we have like a lot of joy in each game. So now we're having fun.
A lot of joy, or gozo. It's at Gozo. 20 games above 500 are the Texas Rangers, and they're staying out in front of the World Series champions, who have made a run. That's the Houston Astros, obviously. We're seeing the Mariners fade back. The Angels are fading back. I hope the Rangers have staying power, because it would be some fresh blood, and boy, have they been wandering around in the wilderness for several years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, they will not have Jacob DeGrom for the rest of this season and a good chunk of next season after it's announced that he will get another Tommy John surgery, or another surgery, Tommy John being the latest with this UCL issue. Now, so I think Brock Purdy immediately, right? But this is fairly common for pitchers.
It stinks. You want to be out there. It's just not ideal, but... you know, get this behind me and give it all I got and, you know, come back. The goal, you know, I'm going to set a goal to try to be back next year towards the end of the year. So work towards that and, you know, hopefully we're in a playoff run next year. And you know, but, you know, the most important thing is this year and these guys that we have, like I said, it's a special group and, you know, want to be here rooting them on. Yeah, so it's just, like, I mean, that's the one thing I feel like I was trying to come back to somewhere.
Oh, dear. No crying. Makes me cry, but it actually got a lot worse. So he hasn't pitched since April 28th. Remember, he started the season on the IL as well. He just signed that 5-year, $185 million deal, but he will not pitch more than the 30 and a third innings that he's already logged this season.
Anytime you get told you're not going to be able to be out there for a little while, it's tough, so... But, oh man, you know, I went through this before and, you know, I know what it takes to get back. So that's the goal. Go out there, you know, rehab as the best I can and be around to help, you know, any way I can. You know, we got a special group here. And.
No. That kind of made me cry.
And to not be able to be out there and, you know, help them win, that it stinks. If you want to be out there, like I said, we got a special group. You know, I love being around these guys. And, you know, that's where you feel like a letdown. You're letting those guys down. But, you know, we have, like, Dane stepped up and done a great job. And the pitching staff's unbelievable. So, you know, be here and root them on. That's all I can do.
Believe it or not, as spotty as it's been, the Rangers have won every game that he started, but he will not play the rest of the season. This is right after the birth of his third child. I mean, talk about an incredibly wide range of emotions. So he had the same surgery done in the minors, but in the majors, it's been different injuries. And now this, which requires at least a year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.